document and trying to convince the government to change certain articles of the law. Outcomes. Now, the result of all this effort, I will tell you that we didn't get all what we want. But at least we managed to change certain articles in the law. And for us, the success that we managed to get the attention of the government through this whole process is also a success for us. So we managed to get certain changes in the law. We changed the registry management structure. I'm not going to get into details. We managed to enforce certain best practices, international best practices to the law. For example, like the time limit for approving, registering a new association has to be like it was like 30 days. The government has to reply by 30 days. If they did not, this means that by law that this organization is registered. The same as for funding. Now, if we seek foreign funding to keep us running and operating, we also need pre-approval from the government. So this was also like structured in time frame to oblige the government to also adhere to certain standards that we asked for. Of course, we reduced the government interference with the decision-making. The law gave the government a lot of authority to interfere with decisions, even like the board decision, the public body decision, and that was actually limited by the changes. Now, the obstacles that we faced, and probably it's common to in each and every coalition, is that there was like kind of conflict among members of the coalition, and this is normal. At the beginning, we had to move real quickly, real fast, because time was not in our side, so we didn't have a very clear and solid structure to the coalition, and this is what created conflict at the end. We had to work in a very tight time frame, and we had organized, because it's a long time, 3 years, like, you know, you see people sometimes lose interest and drop out, but I mean the core team was there surviving the whole 3 years. Now, recommendations for the lessons learned that we learned from this experience. Always have clear structure for the operations of any coalition. It's very important to have clear membership criteria, leadership, decision-making mechanism, internal and external communication, how to structure the communication among coalition groups, and how to structure the communication with the media. This is a very sensitive issue as well. How to mobilize the existing resources and how to bring in new ones and needed ones. We need, of course, a clear vision and mission, action plan, and role distribution among members of the coalition. We have to have strong links and constant communication with the community. Mobilizing the community and the people that will be affected by this law is highly important. The government used to say, you are just a coalition of 15 NGOs, and you don't represent the 3,200 NGOs in Jordan. You are a minority. And we used to tell them, no, we go out in the field, we mobilize NGOs, and we have signatures from them that we are representing the 3,200 organizations. They might not be represented, they might not be physically with us in the meetings, but they are with us. So this is very important. Usually when we address the decision makers, we use neutral governments, neutral language. You will hear so many language, like words like, we don't care about your coalition, we don't care about your cause. If you don't like it, go live elsewhere. So, you know, these kinds of irritated sentences, irritated remarks, you might hear it, but we always stay neutral, we always focus on the goal, and we don't drain our energy in side battles. Of course, mobilizing the international community was really, that was the key issue that made the government listen to us. I mean, I don't know if this is fortunate or unfortunate, but this is what happened. Of course, seek consultation if needed, as we did with the ICNL. And of course, media involved. The language should be always neutral, even in the media. And that's it. Thank you.
Why don't we hold the many questions that I'm sure everybody has here, and I go to Olivia first, and then we'll come back. I thought there was a possible misprint in the material that I got from partners, because it said Olivia's from Romania, and then it said Mauritania has had a long history of whatever, whatever. I thought they've apparently confused, you know, how we Americans are. So they've confused Romania and Mauritania because they both end in A. But it turns out, no, they didn't confuse. You were leading a team that the World Bank asked partners to put together. And so really it's about Mauritania, not about Romania. But we're happy to hear about Romania as well. We're very broad-minded. So if any Romanian lessons, please include them as well. But this was a team to deal with corruption and good governance in the wake of a governmental change in Mauritania. Olivia, maybe you can help us to understand how you did this and so on.
Yes, hello. I will hold on the remarks with the Romania, and we are looking forward for what is happening there, so maybe we will discuss afterwards. Good afternoon. My name is Olivia Baciu, and I'm representing, working for Partners Romania, Partners Foundation for Local Development, which is part of this impressive network of 18 organizations, Partners for Democratic Change International. I will be talking about our experience in Mauritania, where we were involved in a project supporting coalition building for good governance. I will try to stay with 15 minutes, and if I'm standing and sitting, it's because here the air conditioning is absolutely, it's freezing, so please understand me as well if my voice starts to tremble. Has nothing to do with the temperature in Mauritania, obviously.
Post 1989 Romania.
So it's really.
Before 1989, this would have been considered balmy in Bucharest, at least when I went there.
Yeah, it was a bit cold, yes. Yeah. Depending as well in the season. So, okay. So,
in Florida, I don't think it's possible.
Oh, is that right?
So okay. Just get the discussion. Right.
Yeah, the heat of the disagreements will warm the room up.
Okay, so let me try to stand down. It's better this way. No, it's fine. Okay, so our mission took place in Mauritania in 2008, in May and June. And Partners for Democratic Change was contracted by the World Bank to support a project which was called Stakeholder Analysis and Coalition Building for Good Governance in Mauritania, which obviously project was part of a bigger, larger efforts of the World Bank in the area of good governance in specific and targeted countries. Normally, this is not the kind of information that I'm inserting in a presentation. But in this setting of the 20th anniversary of Partners for Democratic Change, I think it is important because the way we worked in Mauritania, it was like a multilingual, was French, English, Arabic. Sometimes in Romania, if we are tired and wondering why if the others are not understanding me, a multinational team actually expressing, I think, and talking about the essence of what Partners for Democratic Change and the network is. And maybe the word that we like so much to talk about is that connectivity, which expresses actually the richness in all the methodology, experience coming from different parts of the world, and making this kind of intervention unique. So this is for talking about the team, actually, which was comprised of Ray, which is here, which is the president, myself, Dina, former partners director in Jordan, and Michael Gadba, which is a board member of PDC. In any good analysis, we start with understanding the problem. And the problem in Mauritania, which was directly related to the project that we are involved in, is corruption. And corruption in that context, it has some different, settings, in the sense that it really has a deep social and historical roots in Mauritania. And probably we can talk a lot about this and what's happened. I just maybe would like to highlight some points, that if you talk about corruption in Mauritania, you talk about corruption which is in public procurement, justice, extractive industries. And there was a special or specific way of redistributing the wealth towards on basis of ethnicity, tribalism, status to leaders. Then were rewarding the specific position and key position in the government and overall in the society. The context that we're talking about, and I started with the history in Mauritania only from 1984, in the sense that what is here actually reflects what happens as well before 84, in the sense of one party ruling in the country, then one starts are thinking to moving military, coup d'etat taking place, and then traditional governments, and then again one military coup d'etat. And this is actually the history as well before the 84 and after the 60s, when they got the independence and from French colonies and so on. We are now in 2009, and this is as well a special context because elections took place. And I just talked with Steve now from the World Bank, and we clarified actually what is happening now, that donors actually are getting back to Mauritania. Somehow I had a slightly different understanding. They are preparing to come back, but they are going back. So that's the moment of 2009 that we are talking. In 2008, we had our intervention in May and June, and then like less than a month afterwards, the military coup d'etat happened. Like any good sound mission of the World Bank, we had a very precise objective, and that was to provide the technical support, training, and everything that was capacity building in order to support build this coalition which can fight corruption in Mauritania, and was support which was meant to be given to representatives of the civil society, members of the parliament, and the relevant stakeholders that were identified in the project. We had designed a process. Once again, the mission, it was May, June, and it sounds like 2 months, but actually we had much less at our disposal. It was a matter, I think, overall of 2 weeks of being literally present in Mauritania, but then coming and going, so having like a period of intervention when only the stakeholders worked by themselves in the country. So we approached the stakeholders, and particularly the civil society representatives, through workshops, two main workshops. And the philosophy was to work with the civil society in the workshops and to approach it, to understand, and to start to build the relationship and awareness on the efforts of the civil society anti-corruption efforts with the Mauritanian parliament as well. As you see, the first mission was a stakeholder analysis. This is highlighted slightly different because this is the mission in which Partners for Democratic Change was not directly involved. This was a different team. Steve was directly part of this mission and other consultants and staff from the World Bank. The part that were directly involved is what you see is like second mission and the third mission. And before getting into the each stage to understand actually how we helped and how we support building this coalition, I just thought it's important to give you this overview to understand that if the first mission provided and did the stakeholders analysis to understand the forces, who is against, pro, and who can you coped in your efforts in anti-corruption in Mauritania. The second mission was preparing, first of all, the NGOs to form an active coalition and as well to bridge, to start to bridge the parliament and the civil society on anti-corruption efforts, and as well assessing what with the donors in the way to try to understand the way they would like to support the anti-corruption efforts. And the final stage was actually building the anti-corruption coalition. Okay, so now about each stage, because I think it's important. This I will talk less because once again, this was not a direct part of our mission. It was the stakeholder analysis. And once again, I think this it's a sound way of starting a mission when we try to do a change process, because it is important to understand who are the stakeholders, main stakeholders, preferences and influence to advance or to block anti-corruption reforms. To understand this dynamic, I would say that it's essential. The second mission, and now it starts our work. We had our workshop with Mauritanian civil society representatives, and at this stage, I think it was very important to prepare the NGOs. We are in the phase of preparing the NGOs and the representatives to form this coalition. And in our workshop, we did several things, which after long discussion and very fruitful fights, constructive fights, consultants, and with the team that we worked. And at this stage, actually, we built a common vision on anti-corruption and on the direction, specifically in this field, that the coalition would like to work. And we started as well our way of, which is the method, our method as well to work and to build capacity in the same time. So we started to deliver and to do this coalition building techniques, especially in change and conflict management. I would say essential skills, even Raja was talking about conflict was inevitable in coalition, and it's inevitable in any large setting. So at this stage, we started to prepare the NGOs to form the coalition. So building knowledge and then having the common vision on how you want to intervene on anti-corruption. This is one of the nice pictures, part of the audience and impressive outfits are bringing very good memories back. That is not Romanian, that's Mauritanian. So.
I think that's Ray right there.
And Ray.
You can tell by the special hat.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the same mission, we, and part of our strategy to build this coalition of civil society, was to understand how the parliament sees the civil society, and to what extent is ready to start to work cooperatively with the civil society and to advance the anti-corruption agenda, and actually to do this bridging between the parliament and the civil society. And for us, it was very important to do this through meetings, like an indirect assessment, because in this way, we understood how this relation could work and to integrate as well in further development of the coalition. This is part of one of the meeting. Here is Ray. You can see that here is Ray and some of the members of the parliament in the committee on specifically working on anti-corruption. And this is in the building of the parliament in Mauritania. And we continue. So this, we did this intervention, and then we left home, and then probably during discussion we'll talk more about what happened, because when we left home, actually, organization were left with homeworks, and they really did a hard work between our two missions when we came back. This is the last mission that we had, and we had the final workshop with the Mauritanian civil society representatives. And I think it was like a 3 days workshop. And because we put it very good and sound, bricks, you know, in the first, in the previous intervention, and because when we left, it was there were some, the representative of the civil society were ready to work together, were ready to do a work plan of how they can develop further the work of the coalition while not being there. When we came back, actually, it was, I don't know if what it's the best word for this, but in 3 days, we managed through a very well and rigorous facilitated process to help the, first of all, to get the agreement to form the coalition, and that was like the formal agreement from the members that yes, we are ready to do this, and yes, we are ready to involve our organization in this coalition, which was vitally important. And then through a facilitated process, through a facilitated strategic planning process, actually, the coalition managed in the end of this intervention to be able to look into its future, meaning that elaborated a strategic plan for 3 years, having the understanding of where the coalition is heading on, what's the vision and what is the mission. And then they worked really, really, really very well on all the elements of a good plan that can make advance organization or a coalition effort in any way. So vision, mission, goals, objectives, even structure, and which is the most important, short-term and medium-term action plans, the way we really need to start to work. So this was at the end of the second intervention, and this is part of their work. This is part of the process. So if you're interested, we can share more during the discussions. Obviously, we talk about challenges, and this is very important for us as consultants as well, to analyze what happened and to see what could have been done better, considering the challenges. There are several listed here. Maybe I will start with the last one, because we really felt like having a short time of the mission, and with rather ambitious objectives. And probably this is something that many missions in the field feel and face, like short timing. The challenge was as well that, okay, you form a coalition to fight corruption, but then this coalition needs to relate to other stakeholders with equal importance. So. The challenge was how to construct and how to contribute to improve this working relationship between the parliament and the coalition to advance the agenda on anti-corruption, obviously, and all this strategy, national strategy on anti-corruption. It's as well because in any phase of building something, there is that level of enthusiasm, which is absolutely normal. So it was a challenge to keep the to support building objectives and short-term action plans and everything that was indicating an action, which actually was were really matching the capacity that you do have in place, were really matching coalition objectives and as well with donor interest and funding timelines, which is. Very important, and ensuring participants' ownership of the coalition and independence from donors. We call them drivers of change, and those are things that I believe that helped us passing or overpassing these challenges. And I insist very much on the process that we designed. I believe that in that specifically 2 weeks, we managed to build a consultancy consultant-client relationship that was really motivating and driving out the best from the participants. I think this was a major factor in really driving and motivating the whole world of the coalition. And I think in this, probably, I'm sure this consultant client, it's definitely important in all consultancy contracts and so on. But I strongly believe that in this specific project that we had and this short intervention, the way you approach the clients, the way you try to understand the local issue, and the way you try to build on the knowledge, because the people we had in front of us were really sophisticated members of the civil society. And I think this was our relationship was really one of the major factor who contributed to such a work, let's say. In the same time, I think if you work with a stakeholder on such an issue, obviously it would be a huge mistake to ignore other strategic stakeholders. So the approach was to go as well to the parliament and to start bridging, to start building the relationship between the parliament and the civil society, or at least to build this awareness at the level of the parliament that the civil society is willing to fight corruption. And as well, we approach the donors to understand what are the funds available and how the coalition can work further. Results, they are looking like two results. Probably we can work, we can talk more about this. I think what we managed to do was we've met in the beginning a group of people who were interested to fight corruption. And when we left a coalition who got a commitment to fight corruption, and a coalition who knew in quite precise terms where it would like to head, where it would like to go in the future with the strategic plan. And those are the results, the concrete results. This is the final image. You see the consultants, there are two which are kneeled down, but I think it's and the coalition is up, so I think it's in the end it should look like this, so the coalition full of energy and consultants completely exhausted and crawling on the floor.
The power changed, exactly.
So we put it up like three recommendations, and the first one is that in the light of what is happening in Mauritania, probably it is a good strategy on the side of the donors to look at the projects that were cut abruptly due to coup d'etat and to try to build further, because it would be just a waste of resources of what we did a year ago. So this would be a good moment to do it. Any structure that starts now to work and to evolve and to have an impact, capacity building are staying definitely it should be there, and the coalition should get the full support to have access to capacity building activities under different formats. I think what is important is to understand there are some key areas in which this kind of coalition network should be able and should at ease to work, and should have knowledge in change management, conflict resolution, cooperative planning, everything that you see here, decision-making mechanism, which is very important, consensus building, meeting, and all the skills which are essential to move this structure forward. And not at least, I think further intervention should actually follow what we started to do
if you start to work with one of the stakeholders, you should consider at least some programs or some settings which bring the other stakeholders as well in some capacity program, so they start to work together and they have this common understanding of what is what has to be done to push forward the anti-corruption agenda. So that was it. Thank you very much.
Thank you both, Olivia and Raja. We're going to break up into groups and talk about the methodologies and substance and so on. But before that, maybe if there are any questions of people just don't understand something rather than have an opinion about it, we'll get to the opinions in 17 and a half minutes. But is there any questions about anything? Do you join the groups? Sure. Okay. So the idea is to break up into some small number of groups. So why doesn't this group become one group and this group become another group and that group become another group? And if you have strong feelings about someone in your group, you can go to another group. But otherwise, I think you can probably survive for...
Regroup.
Yeah, you can regroup. And then we'll take about 10, 15 minutes or so. Is that right?
I think the process was to do it in five, come up with a question or two to the panel.
So that's the change.
Very short.
Okay, so that's the change. I gotcha. Okay, I was asking about the change. Okay, so just a short time to discuss and see if you have questions or issues, comments, anything you like to engender a discussion. So,
come back to plenary.
Yeah. So just 5 minutes.
Okay.
You can join me anytime you want.
Okay.
The coalition for the air conditioning. I say that's the biggest challenge. That's the
anti-corruption.
So you think it's air conditioning? Why is it so?
I'm
going to
create a coalition.
I should tell you stories about Bucharest. Where did you go out? The coldness of the darkness. The prison, and there was no light and no heat and no nothing. You were in second grade or something, but that was really cool. I'll see if I can get the heat turned up.
Yeah, we're just question.
I wasn't interested in that.
No.
Sure, anybody can say anything. They can ask a question, they can make a statement. Silence. They can get warm, they can go upstairs. Take a picture of what? Oh, there you go, yeah. Boy, you guys are so...
Yes, we are.
Much of a, call a chicken here in the U.S., meaning... No.
We're taking some other
feelings. Not tough.
Don't get confused.
Not tough at all. Here they are, quivering away, shivering and stuff like that. Oh. I didn't even realize it was on. Good for the blood flow. We have freezing weather, but this is milk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's even better. What were you doing there? Going to school? You and 50,000, huh? Buckeyes. Football. Well, it's the biggest thing. It's the biggest thing there. You don't like any kind of sport?
No.
You're too violent. You never understood it? The idea is you can move the ball down the other person. It's like soccer. Same idea. Or football. Violent. It's supposed to all the same thing, right? Get involved with the other. Yeah. Principle is the same. Tell up here whether they're just enjoying each other's company or whether they're actually talking about things. Now the proprietor is a board member. One of those is just an intern at CSIS. We offered free coffee, so he came in. Yeah, that's what he doesn't realize because he's new is that you can get coffee on any floor. We didn't tell him that. Oh. He said, you know, if you want coffee, this is the place to be. Yeah, absolutely. We already got more people. So do you live in Amman? Have you always grew up there? That's what I said. I think you said they were giving more.
Okay, there's too much socialization and not enough work, apparently, so we need to... People are having too much fun,
and
which is not...
sleepy.
That's why we kept the temperature down. So you grew
so
up, you grew up in Amman?
I grew up in Amman, yes. I lived in the state for 9 years, and then I'm thinking about coming back to the States.
Oh, good.
Sign in, because we want to send you something following this whole seminar series, so signing in is extremely important for that. Thank you.
Good. Anybody have any comments, questions, alternate speeches, different views, different experiences? Never mind the stakeholders, forget them. Anybody support that view? No? Please. Oh, I thought that was a, I thought you were single. Oh, okay.
Traditional of corruption is quite difficult to change all of their habits.
There was another question over here somewhere.
Are we just doing...
Yeah, sure. We'll just take, why don't we take three or comments, questions? You don't have to be questions either.
Okay. We had a few that sort of build on those. I guess I'll address...
What's the way? If you have a few, should we hold a few and deal with those two, and then we'll come back to your few? Or
yeah.
Or do you want to latch on to those?
They're similar, actually. Yeah.
Oh, they're similar. Okay, go ahead. Okay. Well, the two up here were, if there's no NGOs, how do you build an NGO coalition? And the other is, how successful was the...
I think our point here was about the systemic approach to
And then following on that, just sort of in terms of designing the program, obviously the intervention was needed a far longer time frame, because you're building this, either you're building civil society, then you're building a coalition, then you're doing capacity building, then you're doing maybe general advocacy plans. How important is it to have kind of an early win for the coalition in terms of community awareness of these types of issues as the sort of coalition process and civil society building process is kind of a long time frame, and you're also trying to build stakeholder and communities?
So how do you sustain momentum?
Yeah, how do you get it, and then how do you sustain it?
Okay.
I think it, we can stop here.
You were the one that wanted to go through a lot of questions. Go for it.
Okay, I hope I summarized them well. So on the issue of finding NGOs or not properly organized as NGOs, and I would like as well the team to contradict me if I've got something like not going deep enough. But I might strongly disagree with you, because we found NGOs in Mauritania. And definitely there are NGOs in Burundi. So, and we didn't find just NGOs. We found sophisticated people and sophisticated structure. I remember that we had a conversation with Ray in the beginning, and I think our impression and understanding was, because of all the social and political turbulences, you know, would be a challenge and might be a problem for the organization to develop, in the sense of developing and elaborating more their understanding of how organizations should work, how they should. And actually, when we did, for example, the strategic planning, there were people that reacted much better in other sophisticated environments in developed countries. So it was sophistication there in the best sense, a knowledge. It might be a different and maybe let's say different system of getting legally registered and a different process, but they were NGOs. And among our NGOs, it was an NGO representing the slave rights, which was quite famous, and it was quite representative for what you can find in terms of activities in Mauritania. So this is on the side of...
These are organizations of voluntary associations, right? His point is that you've got all kinds of kinship structures,
yes,
and you've got kinds of state structures, but do you have voluntary associations? Do you have people getting together who don't have any other connection?
Any structure, yes. In this case, the people that we had in our process, and we got them involved, they're representing legally registered forms of NGOs. So there was not like the ones that you're suggesting that might. I think in a longer process, this is coming, like becoming part of a bigger coalition, but at the moment we worked only with legally registered NGOs. And getting them together, it was not the mission of Partners for Democratic Change. Yes, sir.
I think it would be important to add that obviously who's in a coalition legitimates the coalition. So we have a lot of organizations, but nobody respects them. All very interesting. Mm-hmm. If you serve food, a lot of people will come. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the process was that the World Bank was our client. Mm-hmm. We were the client rather than the bank. The bank had two very sophisticated people, Mauritanians, in the field office, in their office in Mauritania. This was not their job, this work that we were doing, but they were personally engaged in it, had a lot of contacts, and they convened, they invited the first group of about 9 or 10 NGOs, and they varied. Some were legal, almost all were legal, and then some were imams from different communities were there. There was
association,
a mayor from
yeah.
a community, and that was fine. And one of the tasks we tasked them with at the end of the first or second day was, if you really want to be a legitimate coalition, then the people who aren't here have to be brought here. And we don't know who they are, but you do. So your job right now is to make a list of at least 2 or 3 organizations that you think should be here for tomorrow's meeting. And you make, or sometime while we're all here, it was really urged for tomorrow, but some came the next day. And they took that assignment on. And we grew from 9 to 15. And most of the organizations that were there were associations, and I mean, they were networks of organizations. There were, even though there were 15 in the room, representatives and leaders, those people represented 6, 8, 9, 10 other NGOs in thematic areas. So for instance, the one that Olivia mentioned, the man who ran the anti-slave subgroup, that was a group of other organizations inside his association. So there were, in terms of broad representation, it was quite broad. But I think Olivia's point is continuity of effort, maintaining the work over time. There's just no substitute for that. That has to be part of it. And then, of course, there was a coup. I don't know how much you went into that, but at the end of our third mission, we left a week. At the end of a week later, there was the military coup in Mauritania. And what we did is, and Olivia did a great job, we really made an effort, separate from our agreement with the bank, I mean, not part of our contract, we really worked hard to maintain a direct relationship with everybody in the coalition. So she was every other week communicating, how are you doing, what's happening, or is anything happening on the coalition, just keeping that up, hoping that there would be an opportunity to come back and we could resuscitate the work that had been done.
Can I just ask a follow-up on that? In terms of the coup, how much, I can't remember the timeline of where you were in the process.
May, June.
How much did that, and like, did you have to change your approach in terms of stakeholder identification given the switch?
No, actually, that happens afterwards.
Okay.
Afterwards, yes. It was, yeah.
There was no space for the coalition after the coup.
Okay, it was a question on campaign against corruption.
Yeah, the question was, how successful were you? Isn't that the question?
How successful was the campaign?
How much less was corruption? How much was the corruption reduced?
Yeah, so a campaign at itself, it was not part of our activities and mission in while being there. But the message, the common message that all members of the coalition had and the understanding was that this really coalition is not a part of us. You remember that we're talking, Ray and Steve, and they were saying that what is happening, okay, has social deep roots, but the way we're actually functioning and the way we are, this come a bit and contradicts of it's the real us. So the corruption, no corruption campaign during us, but the message was there because some of the organization were really strongly advocating for the anti-corruption. They were really active in the field. So people who are in the room were already very much engaged in pushing the agenda forward. About the systemic approach, sorry, what was
the question was momentum. How do you get momentum and keep it?
Was the early.
No, Daniela's question was how
I'm a bit cold, so I'm switching.
Select, I believe, members for to fight corruption, and how do you work on corruption? Because it's a very broad, I believe.
Well, to talk about how you can contribute to a systemic change, you need to have an evaluation and monitoring of what the coalition actually is doing. And what we contributed was really the birth of this coalition. But what we did in this, we understood that the coalition by itself it cannot work alone, so we tried to bridge their efforts with what the parliament can do and push forward the agenda. This was at that time. But for the systemic approach, I think it's too early to speak about it. But the way we understood it was that you need different stakeholders to work together on this. This was not a question. Yeah, Steve.
And then
that was a momentum question.
Yes.
This question relates a little bit to that and to the question about how successful the anti-corruption was. But I'd like to approach it by asking for both of you, in your context, how do you measure success? Because on the one hand, these two questions might actually suggest that the correct answer is we didn't have much of an impact on corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And on the legislation, sounds like you got it, but is it really a legislation that empowers civil society?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll venture a short answer on the Mauritanian side of this. In terms of the vision of the bank, the issue was to get the real sustainable anti-corruption effort, we need a demand side to that effort. Yeah? The bank especially is very good at saying, put a law, have an anti-corruption authority, blah, blah, blah. But there was no traction in society. There were no articulators in society.
Mm-hmm.
So would you suggest that might have been, would you judge success in those terms? And is that enough? If we say we just created an entity that is now part of the landscape of fighting corruption, is that enough? Or should we be doing different things? And so part of it is sort of the model in the question of this particular model. Part of it is really just hardcore, how do you measure that you're succeeding?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be talking about our experience in Jordan. Frankly saying, we didn't go through this monitoring, evaluation, and measurement of success of the whole operation of the coalition. However, there are concrete accomplishments that I can consider that they were a success. First of all, it's I go to the outcome, let me go through the process. The process itself was we had successful accomplishments. When we get high visibility in the media as a coalition, I believe this is a success. When the government acknowledges our effort and the government asks us to sit on the same table and collaborate, plan or draft a law, this is a success for us. I'm sure that at the end, we didn't get all what we wanted, but it was expected because we know we raised the bar of expectation very high, and we knew that there are red lines, there are areas that we were not political decision, we shouldn't go there. Meanwhile, now, it's like, kind of, let me say, it's a baby step that towards what we want. But at the end, we managed to a certain extent, get, let's say, 40% of what we asked. And in Jordan, for the first time, this is happening. It's an accomplishment for us, it is true. But I mean, yet the NGO law does not tackle the need of NGOs. NGOs in Jordan are expanding. They are getting more work in the field. They are more recognized than political parties. So it's, they have more work done, more specialized, human rights. So we needed a law that actually responds to the expanding needs of this kind of NGO. But we didn't get it. But this is not the end. We're still, the coalition is still going on, and we're still, this has been a process of 3 years to get just minor changes. And I believe in the future, I hope that the process will be faster and more accomplishments will be achieved, hopefully.
Can I just ask a question about...
Sorry, yes, because I didn't get the Mauritanian. I hope to give you an answer which somehow is going beyond what the consultant would normally say about his mission, that obviously it was a success. And I will try to explain why do you see it as such. First of all, the coalition in itself, and it is not enough, and I'm coming back to one of my our recommendation that efforts to should continue to should be provided in the future to support for the development of the coalition. Much in terms of the capacity building needs are there, and some vital key areas were identified in a participatory manner with the coalition members, and they said and they acknowledged these are our red areas where we need improvement. We know that we need this to function well. So further intervention in this direction and further development of the coalition is needed, obviously. Now, in terms of results and how we measure success, for me, success as a consultant is when you leave, the client doesn't need you anymore in the direction and in the area that you had your intervention. And I believe that when we left a coalition who was completely knowledgeable and who did by herself with small intervention from our side in a very, in a structured, facilitated process, a coalition who designed, looked at the future, know exactly where to reach, where to be in 3 years, concrete action plans, concrete objectives, concrete directions of interventions, tasks, people were talking about tasks, who is doing what, in which term. This is a success, and it is a success because the coalition did it with our help, and we think that are able to do it by themselves now. If the works were cut, and if they need to, let's say, I have the sense that they didn't cut, but in any case, if there is a need to restart the process, they can do it by themselves. It is a success because we had 2 weeks, which seems awfully little. And in these 2 weeks, we had two missions. And in these two missions, by the process that we managed to build, this coalition worked in between these two missions against all odds. You remember, everybody said, those people are not going to work. We tried some other times in some other projects, those people, because this is the culture. You need someone sitting next by and, you know, lead them. They worked. You remember all the messages from the coalition doing their plans and gathering people. It was amazing. And this talks about the spirit that is in this group and which can continue the work of the coalition. So once again, you do good when you are and you leave and people are doing by themselves. That's our measurement. And I think they are able to do it.
I just want to, I think, summarize very your points. I think there were two dimensions in the World Bank contract. One was to do the work, and I think Olivia's described it very well, try to get them guided in the way of what did they want to do, could they write it up, could they make a charter, could they form a group, and that would make goals, tasks, et cetera, in relation to implementing the charter. The second task, which the bank agreed to, really Steve and some others I think were resistant a little bit to the idea, we wanted to train people to be able to continue that work, understanding that we might not be there. And nothing to do with we had no foresight about a coup. We just the bank's own way of working is unlimited contracts, and we understood that. And so but anti-corruption is, as you know, Jerry was saying, is something earlier. It's not a project. It's a long-term engagement. And Raj's explanation, we're in it for 3 years, you're probably going to be in it for 10. I mean, it's just going to take a lot of time. And so the more skilled the group is, and we saw that very well, not only did people come to the skills sessions, what was very interesting is some people, the imams in particular, wanted to bring the skills sessions to their towns. And in one instance, brought the mayor from their town to say, these skills we should use in our community. So it was very interesting, and it goes to the idea that if you bring people skills and they're very creative and committed to their country or their community, they'll find ways to use them if they want to use them. And I think that was it. I'm not saying it's a success factor. I am saying that Olivia is absolutely right. I think people were really anxious to work, and the more skills they had, they felt more effective in the work they committed themselves to do. And so I think that's there, and I think that's an investment the bank made. That's quite good.
This program has been trying to ask her a question. No, you.
I don't want to exclude anyone. I'm asking for the group.
Good.
It's
a coalition.
It's a coalition.
Sustainable, apparently, with a lot of momentum. Withered all these questions and answers, except you're still left there. Go ahead.
Just sort of a general question about, I guess, for partners in general, about the portability of this approach, with particular regards to countries where there's either no government functioning or a government with low legitimacy. I'm thinking in Sudan, with the southern Sudan question coming up after the referendum, where there is, you know, some local government, but still there's a need to do a lot of capacity building, even with that. And then, of course, Afghanistan, where government legitimacy is severely compromised. And I mean, I'm not sure if the civil society landscape there, but whether in a society where you have low security, even if, how does that change your approach? Is the approach even viable?
Well, and sometimes there are countries with governments, but the governments don't have the power to take decisions, so it's the same. It will be very difficult in such cases that the government does not exist, or sometimes there are countries that are run by, like, UN because the government is absent. So in such certain cases, like probably advocacy is not that much of the right choice or the right approach to, you know, to do in such cases, because you are advocating with whom and who is the decision maker and how sustainable will be that and what are the priorities and is it the right political moment for this? So there are so many questions that we need to ask ourselves before even forming this kind of coalition. And we want to see if there is a fertile environment that this coalition can actually survive and succeed and, you know, have feasible work. So even in countries that sometimes that they do have governments, they are stable, they have all kinds of components that, you know, all the components that of having a government, a sound government, sometimes certain issues you don't advocate for because you just don't. It's not the right political moment in certain time or in certain countries. I don't know if Ray wants to add anything. Okay.
Why don't we ask two questions and we'll go ahead, please.
Well, I sort of have a half a question
comment.
And half a comment, yeah. I came at the question that you asked, but totally from the opposite standpoint, I think. I heard what the goals for the Mauritania intervention were and felt, I come from both the funder's perspective in the past and the implementer's perspective in building these kind of capacities, and thought 2 weeks is impossible. 2 weeks is absolutely impossible, and the question question is, to me, would be, if you achieved anything that's almost miraculous, what needs to be there moving forward? Because you, even if you have found these talented people, transferred a certain number of skills, there's many more skills that needed to be transferred than could possibly be transferred in that period of time. Then you need to be, there needs to be resources for that newly formed coalition to move forward and work with government partners. We haven't even talked about the private sector. This is another question that came up in our discussion. Where is the private sector in all of this and in the corruption issue? And I found it miraculous, your description of what you did achieve in a, 2-week intervention. It's, you know, amazing. But naturally, there's going to be needs.
You saw us, we're kneeled down, so you saw us in the final picture, just in our knees, and that was, yes.
So bravo to you, I guess, is my comment, and bravo also to you for, and your, the intervention that Raha was leading is much more the sort of organic side of it, and took how many years, so one has to anticipate that in Mauritania also. And the question is, if you're building demand for movement from the civil sector, it's going to be, building demand is just not something where you catalyze through one small intervention. It is something that really takes time. So, I don't know, that's my comment, sorry.
I'd like to comment on that. First of all, thank you. I think there'd be 100% or 200% agreement. I think what was interesting, though, having been involved in a lot of coalitions, and there are other directors here that can speak to this, but so we've been involved in a lot of coalition building over the many years. What was so interesting about Mauritania, and I think it contrasts a little bit with the experience in Jordan, mm-hmm. correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. is that in Mauritania we didn't have a base. There was no center in Mauritania. And when we first approached this idea, we wanted to have a coordinator, or somebody that would sustain the momentum, because that is always the Achilles heel of this, is you start something. And networks and coalitions are the most difficult organizational animal to keep together, because nobody has to be there. There's nothing compelling, and nobody's paying them. So it has to be high incentive or some outcome where busy people are going to give their time to something they think is going to pay off somewhere. Now, the bank itself in this situation clearly is a bit of a magnet. There are people there who may or may not believe that the bank may do some funding, some training. There may be, so the bank as a convener, so to speak, because we were not the initial convener, nor there wasn't any consortium yet or network to be a convener. That's why the first step of you have to bring people here was so important. It made them, it was a legitimating step for us. Did you think this was important enough to get to put your name on the line and bring your own people or other people here? That was a very important step. So when they did that, a lot of them did that, that was very legitimating. Secondly, these missions took place over 4 to 8 week periods.
Yeah, 2 months.
And we gave them a lot of what was really amazing, and it shows you how motivated they really were. So we gave them training, and then we gave them tasks. Okay, to build a charter, you have to do these, in our mind, these 5 things. Do you agree that they need to be done? Yes. Here are some ways you could do them. Who's going to hold the meetings? Where are the meetings? So we did all of that before we left. We did all the internal logistical work. Who's convening? Where is it going to be held? People would get, the women in particular got up and said, we can't meet at that time because we have family issues. Okay, when can we meet? I mean, it was that kind of internal, but those negotiations built the group. That's the other thing. There's no issue that doesn't in turn build the group's ownership. So they got very good attendance at most of the meetings. And they knew we were coming back, so we fixed the date before we left. We're coming back on this date. And our intention is to pick up where you have, and we'll keep communication. Olivia was in direct communication with the 3 or 4 work groups that were meeting between the time of the first and second and third mission. I think without all of that internal push, I think what we got, which I think was great, we would not have achieved. But having a lot more, it was clear there was so much more that, and it would have taken place. I think if the coup had not taken place, Steve can speak to it, it seems the bank was quite pleased. there would have been a lot more activity, and the tougher stuff would have come, interfacing with the government, all the things that we saw. So anyways, to speak to your point, which is, we completely agree with it, and to Olivia's point that these were very motivated people. They were really motivated. And I would say that skill building was extremely important for one other reason. The group was very uneven in education. Some people had no education, very skilled, but no formal education, which meant that one or two people in the group that had a lot of education immediately rose to dominate. So training is a leveling function. The more training you can do, then I know how to do it just as well as you know how to do it, and I'm learning it in the group with you. It's a very good leveling function. And I don't know if you did that in Jordan with the coalition that you built, but it was a key part of the Mauritanian strategy.
Well, as you said, it's a totally different case in Jordan. We already have the NGOs motivated to be part of this coalition because this law was really important for all of us. This is one thing. The other thing that we were supposed to do at the very first beginning, which is to build a solid structure and vision and mission for the coalition. However, we didn't have the time to do so because we had to react real fast. By the time we started working, conflict started to initiate among group because we had a loose structure. And when you have loose structure, this allows for conflict among the group. So we decided later, we decided to do a retreat to do this kind of structure and vision and mission and a clear-cut action plan, etc. We did that. However, it worked, but still it would have been much better, or the coalition would have worked or had more effective and efficient results, probably, if we had done the structuring at the very first beginning of the commencement of the coalition. Yeah.
That gentleman over there, and then Steve, and that'll be the last comment or question or statement or whatever you want.
Questions, actually. I wanted to, first of all, both of you had mentioned in the recommendations from Mauritania and in the description of what had gone on in Jordan, mentioned the important role of the international community.
Right.
And I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about what are some of the particular challenges in addressing how to get onto donor agendas, because I feel like a lot of the work in this sector focuses on assisting coalitions and their membership to advocate vis-a-vis their own government, but relatively little attention is paid to some of the other power sources in the question of advocating to decision makers, which are international donors and other members of the international community. And then secondly, to the extent that it's relevant, I've seen from my own work with networks and coalitions some large differences between kind of member-based associations, social service organizations, and organizations that are NGOs focused on public benefit. So I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit as to what the composition was of the coalitions between those different types and what, if any, role that played in the work that you're talking about.
The coalition that we had formed, we had representatives. We made sure that we had representatives from different NGOs working in different fields, like charity, environment, human rights, advocacy, empowerment, like local community centers. We didn't want to exclude anyone. We also looked at the part of the added value that they will bring in for the coalition. For example, we needed lawyers. We needed people who have good connection with international community. So we kind of like put certain criteria in order to have all kinds of ingredients that we need for our work in the coalition. At the same time, we did put criteria for members who wants to join, because we can't veto anyone who wants to join, because this is an issue, the public issue. Everybody, you know, feels that they are affected, they have a stake in it, they have the right to join. But there are certain criteria for that. Now, in terms of funding, basically, coalitions are based because people believe in the cause, not because there is funding. But, I mean, we can't deny the fact that funding is also important for sustainability issues. we in Jordan, we didn't get that much funding because we agreed within the coalition that this is a national effort. We didn't want any funding. And that was a decision that everybody agreed on it, and we were okay with it. So,
you mean national as opposed to international?
So yeah, exactly. No, national. We don't get from the government. If this is the national, we were contributing from our own organizations to support the work of the coalition. That was taken because the government sometimes, you know, this is a foreign agenda. Sometimes they look at us as this is a foreign agenda. You're driven by foreign, you know, ideas. People want to implant such. This is coming from on us in a parachute, etc. We hear so many things. So this is why we made sure that it is a national, self-funded coalition. We did not register, because we already have problems in registering NGOs, so we didn't register, but we were an informal coalition. But our work made us highly visible, and we had, yeah. Thanks.
Okay, so I agree that everything in the coalition is about the idea that you fight for, but inevitably financial things are just coming out. So the part of the financial sustainability was part of the strategic plan and considerations. What we did, it was besides bridging the NGO sector with the parliament and vice versa, parliament being very much aware of what is happening, we approached the donor community, and actually Ray was leading this effort, and we got the understanding that the EU, specifically the UNDP and GTZ, they're all involved in the governance area, and actually they stated their support. They say that support the World Bank efforts, and they do their donor coordination. So I, as Ray said, coup happened, and I think with this particular group would have been very interesting to see how they would have worked everything that we managed to build. But this was
Okay, can we do it quickly?
Yeah, very quickly. Yeah, I think that international's role, I come from Albania, part of Slovenia, it's not important in terms of money. Rajat's experience, I mean, Jordan is completely different when it comes to what's the perception, public perception when you work with certain donors. In Albania, it's the opposite, I think. So it helps. And in very similar initiatives, Jordan one, Albanians took 7 years to pass the NGO law in 2001, and now we are struggling to reform our fiscal system. And although we tried really hard, with using very sophisticated techniques, it didn't work. And then finally we had to mobilize the foreign diplomacy, mm-hmm. and it worked. In 2 months we got to meet a meeting with the Prime Minister. So I think that I always say this, that I don't really like this kind of dependency on the international community, but as long as it is moderated or it comes by request, and it was our request, we really asked for their help, and it worked. So sometimes diplomacy is even more important than financial aid.
Did you have a closing comment or thought or question?
There's no comment. Again, on the results, and I agree with everything you said, and in fact, we've had this long debate with Ray on Mauritania. The problem, I think that there are two problems. One is to accept incrementalism. So this, from the donor's perspective, we tend to come in and want a particular outcome, very categorical, and we need to move from there. Okay? On the other hand, I think for providers like Partner, you need to try to articulate the successes that are really incremental as intermediate to a particular categorical outcome that you want. Mm-hmm. So that might be require some adjustment, you know, for both sides. In fact, Jerry, your previous employer, USAID, had some of the positive work they did was defining intermediate outcomes towards democratization. Yeah? And I think we need to come back to that. Now, one thing that I should say, that this effort in Mauritania for the bank was very much at the margins. This is, we're trying to sell this idea that reform takes a particular and broad set of actors that the bank has not dealt with before. And we need to start building their capacity so that they can become partners in good governance reform. So in a sense, the questions that you get from the bank, and you encountered this and we encountered this, will tend to be exactly what I was asking, what was asked before. Has this made a difference? Mm-hmm. So we have to be able to actually answer that in ways that suggest there's actually a foundational theory about where we're headed, that one can claim these are successes because they contribute to a certain pattern of progress. So that's really all of that.
Good. If I can just make one quick comment, and that is that what you call a categorical outcome is the purpose of the organization, right? You want to try to reduce corruption or whatever it may be. So the idea of intermediary steps is fine, but you still want to keep your eye, don't you, on the ultimate goal, because otherwise it's just process. I mean, you can meet indefinitely and just say, gosh, we had a great meeting. Nobody ever goes anywhere. That's what poker clubs do, I guess, you know? I mean, they just meet and play poker. Anyway, on that happy note, thank you very much for coming. Thank you to Raja and Olivia and to partners.